I would like to invite you to join me on a journey to a place that many people have never been. Some people who have gone there didn't see much when they visited. Others didn't like what they saw in their visit and have never been back. Only a few people have come to know this place really well.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, let's hit the pause button right there and say, what place are you talking about here?
The inside of your own life. To know the inside of your own soul, who you really are. You know, that's one of the greatest questions, one of the greatest explorations.
Well, it is. And for some of us, that could be a little intimidating or scary. How do we get to know our own self?
Well, two things really matter in life. One is to know myself and the other is to know God. And guess what? You can't get to know the one without the other. We're made in the image of God. And coming to know God, I get to know myself. And then getting to know the reality of what's going on inside me is going to be really important to getting to know God as well.
We're starting a new series today. It's called Battles from the Boardroom of the Soul. So in what way does the series help us get to know ourselves?
Well, the inside of every person's life, think of it as being like a boardroom with different members who are arguing and debating about the issues of life. Your inner life is just like a boardroom. And round the table, try and picture this, are your mind, your heart, your will, your memory, your imagination, and they're debating the great issues, the great decisions of your life. Mm-hmm. And battles go on in the inside of a person's life. They go on in our hearts every day.
Yeah.
And to understand how this works and to understand how God himself in Jesus Christ can bring order to the soul. That's the most marvelous thing, and it's at the heart of what we're learning.
Well, that's what today's program is all about. If you can, I hope you'll open your Bible. Join us in Psalm 115 as we begin a message entitled, Avoiding a Shallow Life. Here's Pastor Colin.
Well, now, over the next 7 weeks, I would like to invite you to join me on a journey to a place that many people have never been. Some people who have gone there didn't see much when they visited. Others didn't like what they saw in their visit and have never been back. Only a few people have come to know this place really well. And the place that I'm talking about and that we're going to focus on over these next weeks is your soul. The interior of your life. A place where even you yourself may not often have gone. A place where you may find some things that are surprising and even unfamiliar to you. It's fascinating to find that the Bible refers to soul or souls nearly 500 times in the Authorized Version. It's less in the New International Version, which often translates the same words life or self or your very self, but it's talking about the same thing, your inner life, what makes you, you. Apart from your soul, you would only be a corpse. The soul is your very self. You remember in the story of the creation how at the very beginning when God made the first man, he formed the body of the man from the dust of the ground. He brought these chemical matters together. He created what is a biodegradable chemical structure, molecular structure. But then God did a second thing. He did more than create a corpse. He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of the man, Genesis says. And Adam became a living soul. Now, you begin to get a sense of the importance of the soul and therefore the importance of our journey when you consider what God says about it. The Bible makes it very clear that your soul is of infinite value. What shall a man give, Jesus asked, in exchange for his soul, his very self? What could you give in exchange for you? If a man were to gain the whole world, but then were to lose his soul, what value would that be to him? One day God will give you a new body, and that will be wonderful. But right now, the focus of God's attention is on your soul. And that's why Peter says in his letter that the goal of our faith is the salvation of your soul. So it's clearly important to know what's going on in your soul, because although we may make many visits to the doctor and may be very concerned about things relating to the body, the soul is actually the center of the action that really counts in this life. Someone has once said that true wisdom, all the wisdom that you need for life, actually boils down to two basic areas. You need to know God, and you need to know yourself. And here's the catch. You can never know the one without the other. Because if you don't know God, then being made in his image, how can you know yourself? You are made in his image. If you're made in the image of someone you don't know yourself. You cannot know yourself unless you know God. But similarly, if you do not know yourself, you will not know God either, for this reason, that if you're away from the truth, you cannot come close to God. I love the song from DC Talk, which I know not all of you will be very familiar with, but some of the younger ones will be. And it has this great line, "What's going on inside me?" That's a great question. And we're going to be focusing on that great question from the scriptures over these next weeks. Did you know, for example, that your soul comes under regular attack? Peter talks about sinful desires that make war against your soul. So there's a battle that's going to be going on as enemies seek to attack and to undermine your own very self. That's why the book of Proverbs tells us that we need to guard our souls. Do you know how to do that? The Bible makes it very clear that the soul can go through different conditions because of different experiences in life. For example, your soul can get bitter. Hannah experienced bitterness of soul because she was not given the gift of children. It was a great spiritual struggle in her very self, and she worked it out in the place of prayer before God. Job went through bitterness of soul. He speaks about it several times in the book of Job. It was a great inner struggle that he worked out in the presence of God. The book of Psalms speaks about your soul being downcast or being in anguish or even sometimes grieving. David speaks in Psalm 77 about a time when his soul refused to be comforted. And you may have been there. A time where your very self was in such pain that you were actually resistant to any attempts to bring comfort. My soul, he said, refused to be comforted. That's how it was for him in the depth of his grief at one time. Do you remember Jesus said in the garden, "My soul," he said, "is overwhelmed with sorrow." And remember how Simeon in the Christmas story said to Mary when he blessed the child Christ, and he said to Mary, "A sword will pierce your soul too." So the soul can go through great pain, but the soul can be wonderfully revived. Remember Psalm 23, "The Lord restores my soul." So the embitterment, the grief, the overwhelming sorrow need never be the last word for you. In Psalm 19, we're told that the law of the Lord, the scriptures, which are trying to encourage people to read, they revive the soul. The psalmist said, "My soul finds rest in God alone." Jesus said, "Come to me, and you will find rest for your soul." So the soul can not only experience times of great trauma, it can be wonderfully revived and restored. It can also know heights of incredible joy. When the angel announced the birth of the Savior to Mary, you remember her response in that beautiful song. She sang out, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And in Psalm 103, one of my favorites, it begins this way, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. So that's the ground we're going to be covering over these next weeks as we take this journey into the interior of our own lives and look at the secret life of the soul.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Avoiding a Shallow Life. It's the first in our series, Battles from the Boredom of the Soul. And if you want to make sure you don't miss a future broadcast, you can head to our website and you can sign up to podcast the program. The website is openthebible.org. You can also get the Open the Bible app. That's a great way to listen on the go whenever it fits your schedule. You're going to find the app at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, to understand what is going on in your soul is one of the most difficult and yet at the same time one of the most important skills in the whole of the Christian life. Now, I want to give you an analogy or a picture that has helped me, and I hope it will help you to understand what is going on inside your soul. I'm going to give you the picture, and then we'll come to the scriptures in Psalm 115. I want you to imagine a boardroom with a large, round, polished oak table at the center. And round this oak table in this magnificent boardroom, there are seven chairs. I'm going to call this the boardroom of the soul. And I want to introduce you to six of the duly appointed members of the board. Their names are mind, heart, will, conscience, memory, and imagination. These faculties of the soul, these six members of the board of your interior life, are really the mainsprings of all your behavior. They meet together in secret to debate and to decide the great issues of your life. Often you will not even be aware of their discussions. But in the boardroom of the soul, they hammer out the decisions and the attitudes that you adopt every day. They determine the direction of your life. Now, follow me with this analogy, because you know how boards operate. Many of you have served on one, and many of you have served indeed on many. Now, you know that on any board, some members speak a great deal more than others. Some carry more weight and influence than others. There is usually one member who says very little, but just occasionally he or she will come up with something that saves the day. Members of the board often disagree. In fact, it would be a strange board where that did not happen. And sometimes on a board, there can be hard battles. Sometimes the board makes good decisions, and 10 years later, the benefits of that decision are still being enjoyed. And sometimes the board makes weak decisions, and years later, the pain of it is still being felt. Some members of the board come with experience and wisdom to the table. Others find themselves dealing with issues that they do not know how to handle. Now, all of these things that are true of any board, really, are true of the boardroom of your soul. Think for a moment about these six board members who sit round the table of your inner life. The first is mind. Picture him now as he comes in with his bulging briefcase full of information for the meeting. He, of course, has a large balding head. No offense intended. You know what they say, the best men always come out on top. Then there is heart. Oh, that's slow. I know it's early in the morning. That's slow. It's not only mind taking his place with his bulging briefcase at the table, but there's also heart. Now, you never know what he's going to be feeling when he comes in. Sometimes he arrives with a smile, or she. You have to make this gender specific for yourself. I'm only speaking for myself. Sometimes he arrives with a smile. Sometimes he arrives with a frown. Sometimes heart is angry. And sometimes he seems broken when he speaks. Then there's will. He tends to have a very strong personal agenda and can sometimes be quite demanding. He raises his voice rather too often in board meetings. He is capable of great determination, but he does not always show it. Sometimes, in fact, he has been seen to be rather lazy, sitting back in his chair with his feet on the board table. Will usually sits beside Hart at board meetings, and the two of them often vote together. In fact, rumor has it that they meet for coffee before and after board meetings, and sometimes the two of them overrule mind. Then there's conscience. He, of course, also has a large briefcase full of papers, but he hasn't always read them. Sometimes the other members of the board wish that he had a better grasp of what's right and wrong so that he could give guidance to the other members. And there's been talk of sending him on some kind of course because he's been so weak. But then other members of the board have noticed that because he's sometimes weak, he can often be persuaded to vote their way, and so no one's done anything about it. And then there's imagination. As he comes in and takes his seat round the table, he has insight that can open up sometimes in a meeting the way forward that no one else could see. But he does lack focus. And he's sometimes consumed with trivia. And there have been times when conscience has had to tell imagination, you're way out of line. And then there's old memory. Old memory. Of course, he tends to live in the past. Sometimes he gets in the way of progress as he goes on at length about the difficulties that you faced before. But at other times, memory can lead your whole soul into the highest worship of God as he recollects and tells all the other members of the board about the goodness and the faithfulness of God in your life. Now, every one of these board members are present in the inner room of your soul. And each of these faculties has tremendous potential for good or for evil. But together, debating it out around the table in your interior life, they will determine the actions and the attitudes, the direction and the outcome of your life itself. So I want to ask the question, how is it in your soul? We have a medical journal at home. It's about 5 inches thick, and it lists all kinds of conditions that can prevail in the body. If we were to write a book of all the conditions that can exist in the soul, I suggest that it would be twice the length. Sometimes your soul will be divided. And the whole direction of your life will come out of some hard-fought battles between your mind, your heart, your conscience, in the boardroom of your soul. And you'll be very conscious that no man can serve two masters. And the board has to decide that you're either going to go one way or the other. And it's divided and it's a battle. Will wants to go one way. Conscience says another. Mind says one thing. Heart's going a different way. There may be times when your soul is embittered. Memory won't speak to mind, and will won't listen to conscience. Heart sits there utterly miserable. Or your soul can get unruly, where the heart and the will start asserting their rights. I want, says will. I feel, says heart. And they won't listen to the other members of the board. They shout and silence the others. Maybe that is going on in you right now. What is it like in the boardroom of your soul? Well, over these next weeks, I invite you to join me on a journey of self-examination. I want you to ask that the Holy Spirit will use the Bible to shine a light into some undiscovered corners of your soul. That the Holy Spirit himself will help you to get to know the members of your own soul, the faculty members who sit round that table. And that you will not only discover what's going on, but that you'll discover from the scriptures what you can do about it. Now, I want us to begin in Psalm 115 briefly this morning, where the psalmist talks about idols, the things that we put in the place of God. Let me read again from Psalm 115 and verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold. They're made by the hands of men. And then notice this description of the idols, which seems very obvious, but it's very important. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. You picture this carving of gold or silver or wood or stone. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. Hands, but they cannot feel. Feet, but they cannot walk. That seems straightforward enough. Now look at the punchline, which has always fascinated me. Verse 8. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. You see what he's saying? If you put anything else in the place of God in your life, this is what will happen to you. You will lose the capacity of spiritual hearing. You will lose the capacity of spiritual seeing. You will lose the ability to walk in God's ways, and you will lose the ability to taste and to see and to savor that the Lord is good. If you put anything in the place of God, in the long term, its effect will be the shrinking of the capacity of your soul.
Really a sobering warning today as we wrap up our program. You know, when you put anything in the place of God, the long-term effect is the shrinking of your soul. Well, you're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Avoiding a Shallow Life, and it is the first message in our series, Battles from the Boardroom of the Soul. And if you happen to miss a broadcast or you just want to go back and listen again, you can do that when you come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, we depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book called Walking with God. It's written by J.C. Ryle. And Colin, why did you pick this book?
Oh, well, because it is so practical and so full of wisdom. And the title describes it well. It's all about what it looks like to walk day by day with God. J.C. Ryle was a bishop in the Church of England in the 19th century. He's one of my very favorite writers. And when he's writing on walking with God, he's at his very best. I mean, he has chapters here on prayer, on reading the Bible, on love. He has a chapter on illness. He has a chapter on happiness. And they're all so practical and so directly from the scripture and so wonderfully related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the things he says are just so helpful and insightful. Listen to this on prayer, Steve. Praying and sinning will never live together in the same heart.
That's good.
I find that really helpful. He says prayer will choke sin, or sin will choke prayer. I find that really, really helpful.
Yeah.
In other words, if I give myself to prayer, there's going to be a power in that that in its very nature will be expelling to sin. That's the kind of practical wisdom that we need. And then, of course, the next question is, well, how do I pray? Well, read the chapter. Walking with God by Bishop Ryle is really rich, and it will take you through a very practical guide to what it looks like to walk with God every day.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, Walking with God by J.C. Ryle, as our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can give when you come to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 877-OPEN-365, or again, our website, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Is your capacity to love, serve God, and worship shrinking? We'll find out what causes your soul to grow on the next Open the Bible.